I'd appreciate your prayers again. I feel like the Lord's talked to me a little bit. Give me a little bit of a thought for you this morning. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Very familiar verse quoted by children a lot in Sunday school classes. Very meaningful scripture, I think. It says, 28th verse, "Come unto me."
Yes.
It's an invitation for sure. It's gentle. It's not pushing. There's no press with this. It's a simple invitation to the soul. It also implies, to me, it supplies a solid, steady place or an unmovable place, and an invitation to it. In other words, there's no movement on this side. The movement's got to be on the other side. Right. We've got something here.
Yes.
Come to it.
Yes.
The Lord put a lot of effort to make a place that he could say this to.
Yes.
He came to the world. We probably all know this story. He came humbly into the world. There was a reason for all of this. He was teaching mankind how to live.
Yes.
How he ought to live. The best way to live. He came and was at the time man was estranged from God. There was no way to get our fleshly, sinful man acceptable enough to God to come into his presence. So Jesus made a way. He became an intercessor. He died. He shed his blood for the sins of the world. God was very pleased, very, very pleased with his son.
Yes.
His son did no evil. His son done everything right. He done it in the will of God. He gave it all so much that the different places in Scripture, "This is my son. My well-beloved son, hear ye him." The acceptance that God had for Jesus was plainly stated, but he didn't have that for us. We were sinful and undone and corrupted, and there was no way to bring the two together. We would have melted away before the holiness of God. There was no way to bring us to the presence, but Jesus made a way for us to be able to come. And he invites us very, very gently, puts all the burden of it on us. Not all of it, but the coming is on us.
Yes.
The movement's on us.
Right.
One of our songs in our book says something like, "The master is calling, come and dine."
Yes.
But the idea is that if you're hungry, if you've got needs, everything that you could possibly need is on the table.
Yes.
The great table of God is spread. You need peace in your life. There's peace in God. You need you need love in your life. There's love spread on the table. There's joy. There's happiness on the table. There's all of the things that the inward man needs is already spread on the table, and it's not moving. It's stable. It's there. It's been there. It's still there. It's always there. But you have to come to the invitation. Here, I'm inviting you to this, but it's going to be your... I think God uses many things to bring us to the place that we want to be able to come, or we do want to come. He uses the events of life. We see the effects of our bodies sometimes. We feel the hurt of emotions. We go through the normal things of life that causes us to say, "I need something more than I can get. I got to have something more than I can have otherwise. I need something in my life. I'm miserable. I'm miserable. I got to a place and I'm miserable. Brother Tommy told us, sin's miserable. Just miserable in my life. I know what that was like. I remember plainly being 23 years old. You're supposed to have it all gone by then. And I was wretched and miserable in my soul. Nothing worked for me. I wasn't happy and all of that. And the Lord said, come.
Yes.
Come. If you're in that place, come. It's an invitation, but the table don't move towards you. He brings it out and he wants us to have a vision. And through the preaching and through the singing and through the people of God, you can get a little bit of an earnest of what it is, but you got to come.
Yes.
Right. Nobody can go get you a plate. This isn't like one of the lines and say, well, I'll go get you one of these styrofoam carryout plates and I'll bring it to you. It doesn't work that way. The invitation is come. Here in this verse, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. Well, it sounds like there is something that has to be there. All ye that labor are heavy laden.
Yes.
Come. You can come and there's something here. My idea is this morning is to see the burdens and the heavy laden that's on people's lives and the packing it and packing it. And the invitation is come and lay it down. Come and let me help you pack it. Come and let me give you relief of that. If you'll come, I've got the answers to all of these things. But if you don't come, you'll pack it.
Yes.
You'll have to go on packing it. There's no other place to lay it down. There's no other place that you can get rid of it. But I'm making an invitation. Come unto me.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thought today. To come unto me.
Yes.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. In the 15th chapter of Luke, in the 11th verse, it says, and he said a man had two sons. But I think in order to really understand the whole idea of the passage, it really needs to be looked at as what Jesus was talking about. So I'm going to read back in the 15th, the first verse. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. And he goes on, and I'm going to take the time to read the parables. I'm going to just talk about it. But he starts talking about the condition, I believe, of the lost soul. And the condition and what you can relate to this. And he goes in first and said about the sheep. About a lamb that would wander off and the process of these people, they're complaining that Jesus was caring for these sinners.
Yes.
I mean, it was a conflict with them to understand this. And so Jesus starts telling them the parable about the value of this soul. And he wanders off and the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes and he finds this sheep, something that's innocent. It doesn't know what it's doing. The sheep don't know what it's doing. It's prone to wandering. It's prone to get in trouble. It needs a shepherd. It needs somebody that cares for it. And so the shepherd goes, and he's the one moving. Thank God the Lord come looking for us. Thank God that the Lord is in. There's a situation like that to where in our ignorance and our undone. I know when the Lord followed after me, I didn't know what to come to. I didn't know nothing about it. I know very little about the Lord. I know that. And the Lord pursued me. And I can say, the Lord loved me before I loved him.
Yeah.
The Lord followed after me and found me in that place. And there is a place like that, that you know, he comes in searching for us. But you know, I think this lamb was glad to be found. He's glad to get back to it. He don't buck and run away or do that. The next story is simply about a coin that's lost. Coin's inanimate, don't think about anything. So the idea can't be so much about just the loss, the coin, but it's the idea of the value of losing something and trying to get it back. Jesus is referenced to them, the value of something that's lost and you try to find it back. But the third story is different because it's about a human being.
Yes.
And it probably applied to them more than any of the rest of it did. A man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You know, in our human mind, our human heart, a lot of times, we can get our feelings hurt.
Yes.
And we can have this attitude, almost like the Pharisees had there, about Jesus talking, why would you talk to these publicans and sinners? It just gives a bad taste to everybody. I mean, these people ain't worth fooling with. The good people are people that follow God, right? We're the good people. It is true. I mean, I hope it is that we're good, that God does something with us and changes us and helps us. But what's it going to change us and help us to? Realizing the value of these human souls,
yes.
Of course. But we can think this way, and this young man that run off and did such a terrible, yeah, he made some bad decisions.
Yes.
Bad decisions. And we can think that he needs to really, let's make sure that he really learns his lesson good. And we can go through all of the things that our mind thinks about that and all of those things. But you know that there was a father.
Thank God.
A father.
Yes.
His heart is of a father. Yes. I'm a father and I know what this is. The heart is of a father.
Yes.
And the heart was always that he come home.
Right. Yes.
His thought was always the invitation, son, come home.
Yes.
Come home. You made the mistakes and you've done all that. But I still love you.
Yes.
I still want you to come home. We'll deal with your mistakes.
Yes.
We'll help you for the things that you need.
Yes.
But come home.
Yes.
The invitation is I got all this table spread, son. And you belong here. You belong here. I never stopped wanting you to be here. With all that you want and all that drew you away and all of those things. A father's heart's different than the way we can think and humanly sometimes. The father's heart was always on his son.
Yes, it was.
He did not approve of the bad things that he done.
Right.
He did not want him to do that because he actually hates it because he knows what it does to his son. That's why we hate evil. That's why we should hate all the things in evil, because I know what that's going to do to my son.
Yes.
That's going to destroy my son. I hate that stuff. He hated all of that,
yes.
But he never hated that son.
Right.
The invitation was always to him that was out there. Come home.
Yes.
I want you to be back home. I want you to be safe. I want you to have the blessings on you. I don't want you down there with the pigs. I don't want you subject to the diseases of this world. I don't want it to do what it does to the mind. Warp the mind and deceive the mind. And I don't want it to do that. I want good things and wholesome things. The invitation is wide open today. It's wide open for every one of us to come unto the Lord. You might know the Lord. It might be living for the Lord. But everything that you have, issues that you have or whatever you have, there's still an invitation to come unto me.
Yes.
I'll take care of that. You may well say, well, I don't feel worthy because of, well, who feels worthy? We're not supposed to feel worthy.
No.
We're supposed to bring it to the one that is worthy. Thank God for what he done. And so thankful the Lord did what he did for me because he couldn't do it for himself.
Right.
So it says that he was wasted his substance in riotous living. Well, shame on him. He should have to suffer the consequences of that. And he did.
Yes, he did.
But there was still the great invitation.
Yes.
Come unto me.
Yes.
And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. I suppose this young man done what naturally most people would do in that situation. He began to be in want. The needs was great. And so he tried in his human ability. He wasn't ready to turn around yet. He wasn't ready to heed yet. He thought, well, I'm going to have the last this effort of making this a success. I'm going to hook up with something. Maybe I can hook up with someone that is able, together we can pull through this thing. Maybe my tide will turn. Maybe my boat will come in. Maybe there's something else that's going to change in my life, and I'll be able to turn this thing around, and all those things. And he got to the point that he was starving completely to death. Yeah. Nothing left. I don't think this is altogether talking about the physical things of life. You can get to the point that the old things that made you happy, you got a thrill of, just don't work no more. I remember one time, I was saved, living for the Lord, but I was in one of those places that you can get in. And I got into one of them and felt a lot of need. I felt need. Well, Zach got off work one day. I was working surveying and got off work, and had to go in the mines later that night, so I didn't have enough time to go home. Oh, it had come into my mind. Oh, I remember that spot. When I was 12, 13 years old, I loved the squirrel hunt, and I remember a place up on the hillside where my dad lived, and at the home place, I remember where the hickory trees stood up there, and it was a mid-October, beautiful sunny afternoon and evening, and I thought, oh boy, I know what'll do it. I know what I'm needing. What I'm needing is that'll do it. I know where that stump is. I always sat on. The hickory trees was right there. I went to my dad's and got a shotgun and went up there on the hill, and boy, I was so excited. What a beautiful day. It's going to be just like it used to be. Go up there and set for them squirrels to start cutting. Oh, this is going to be it. And I get up there, and I got up there and sat down on the stump, and it just took me a few minutes to the old misery started flowing back in. And I sat up there and realized that the same old wretched person that I had down at the bottom of the hill was the one I took up to the stump. I was the same up there as I was down there, and the beautiful leaves coloring and the idea of squirrel hunting started fading off, and I realized that there was just a miserable man sitting there on the stump that with no purpose and didn't feel that what I thought it would. I thought I could do it. I thought that's what was going to do it. Yeah. And the Lord started talking to me. This ain't it. You know, the Lord told me something. It was one of the just such a glorious thing that happened. The Lord told me, get down out of here. I got something for you I want you to do. There's a couple down there that I used to visit and talk to about the Lord. Young couple. And he told me, I want you to go down there. I want you to go visit them. So I marched myself back down the hill. Well, it wasn't helping anyway. Got down there, went to the door, went down, drove down to the door, knocked on their door. One of them come to the door with tears flowing down their face and said, oh, thank God that we was just down at the couch in there praying, Lord, send us somebody to help us. Wow. You know, I went in and we started praying and crying, and we started dealing with things, and I left out of there with purpose. Lord, I understand. I understand that I could waste my time. I could spin my tires. I can do nothing. And the things that I thought would satisfy me, think an old worldly song that you used to offer. I just heard that again. Or I think of something that I used to. I could just do that again. And I'll find out that it's all fleeting and worthless. I mean, there's one that says, come unto me. I got the answers for you. You want your soul filled? I got something answers for you. I got something that will be meaning for you. I went away just full. I went away rejoicing from there saying, it's in the Lord.
Yes,
the answer to life's in the Lord. Right there was what I really, really the purpose. Lord, give me those kind of places. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So the young man is eating with the, he would have eaten with the pigs. We always say he was eating the pigs. There's no evidence to eat with the pig because nobody, he didn't even get pig food. They didn't give it to him. But he would have eaten it. That's how low he got until he says here, and when he came to himself, and all of a sudden here's a son, he comes to himself and realizes this great truth. It's at my Father's house. It's at the Father's house. Everything else is fleeting, crumbling, worthless, useless. Everything that I can think you can entertain your flesh for a while in this life, folks. Yeah. You can have the drugs that get you up. You can do the drinking that gets you there. You can do the activities of the flesh that you think so much doesn't. It all comes with a terrible consequence to the soul. All comes to a corruption of the heart and mind. And it all comes in the same place. And he had corrupted himself and done all that. And he came to himself and said, I left what I should have kept. I think I'll go back. He thought in his mind, and I think it's right, that he felt this way. I've sinned against the Father. I've done all that. But he misjudged the Father's heart. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Yes. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I think all of that was true. I think that's a true repenting attitude that he had. Just own it. Just yes. Own it. I just plain own it. This is me. I'm no more worthy. It's not working for me. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. True. That's true. But it's not the way the Father thought about it. The Father's there. This is my son.
Yes.
This is my son. I can't let loose of this. This is my son. The love ain't never left. The desire for his good has never left. It didn't change because of this thing.
Right.
Maybe even intensified. Oh, come back.
Yes.
And he arose, and he came to his father. Now, in these stories, these three stories, this one represents a certain segment. I want to say this. There is a place that you get in, and I'll say it this way. This is the way I think about it. There is a certain place that people can get into that have understanding and knowledge of the Lord.
Yes.
And he's not coming looking for you. This is a story of a man that left him.
Right.
The father did not go rummage through the cities looking for him. No, he did not do what they did with the little sheep. He didn't sweep the floor for the coin. No! He simply stays with the invitation.
Yes.
Come. This is solid. It's steady. It's a place that you can always go to. That's what our congregations always represent. Lord, help us to keep the doors open. This is what it will always represent. It represents an unmovable, solid place that you can come. And when the people and generationally and they look and say, well, they just live like they used to. Thank the Lord. It's something you can come to. There is people that go away and leave and go away and then they're thankful. I went away, but please don't you ever go away. Because if you go away, where am I going to come back to? This represents something that you can always come back to. You can always come to God. But it doesn't mean that you're going to feel it. It doesn't mean... Well, some people say things like, well, I've heard this and I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to understand it. If you do, you can explain it to me. But I've had people say that, oh, I just want to be saved so bad and I want to be saved, but the Lord just don't deal with me. You're wanting to be saved so bad, he's dealing with you. Come on and be saved. Don't let the devil make that excuse. You wouldn't even feel anything if it wasn't for the Lord doing it. If you feel like that, oh, I want to be saved, but I'm going to wait till the Lord deals with me, that's the devil lying to you. If you feel that, you come. Come unto me, all you that live. The invitation's given. The understanding is there. Come unto the Lord. So he said he came to himself. He arose up. And he arose and came to his father. Oh, how good this is. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What this son thought was going to happen didn't happen that way. I'll just be a servant. No, you're going to be a son.
Yes,
you're going to be a child. And the idea, if you can get that in your mind, I have a certain vision in mind. Don't have to be yours, but in my mind, there's this great complex of where they live, and this, and it's on a hill, and there's this winding. It's always this winding, long winding road that goes down through the valley. And he's coming up, and he's coming up the grade to come, and he sees, and he gets up, and he sees what was home, and standing up there looking. How did he see him a great way off? It's because he was looking. That's why he always looks and says, he makes an invitation, come, and he stands forever ready to welcome. Come, he's coming, but I'm going to come and meet you there. I'm going to encourage you there. When you make the determination, I'm going to come. I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come and walk with you. The Lord's going to give you every opportunity that you can have to make this successful. You don't have to be ashamed. I'm saying there's shame, there's guilt. You come and give it to the Lord, but that's what it is. Come and die. Come in that. The Lord wants us to come. There's another scripture in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. 16th verse says, let us therefore come boldly. Well, again, this passage starts off by saying, let us therefore. Therefore. That seems to be suggestive of something else. That's following something. Let us therefore means that there's something you need to understand that happened before there. So what is that therefore? The therefore is these passages that says we have a high priest.
Yes.
This is the context of this.
Yes.
We have a high, and what is this great high priest? This is the great high priest that came to do what you can't do. This great high priest was he's the great bridge between us and God. He is the intercessor. He's the one that makes it possible. God is not going to accept you ever for who you are, just who you are. He's accepting you through Christ. Christ is what he's accepting you through. He and therefore leads back to the fact that we have a great high priest. And he's done this work for us, and therefore it says that we can come boldly. Who can come boldly? Because of Christ, you can come boldly. You say, wait a minute, I ain't saved. That's who he's talking about.
Yes.
You say, well, I know you had to come humbly. I've had this wrestle in my own mind. Boldness is not the opposite of humility.
No.
Pride is the opposite of humility. Boldness can be fit right with humility. You can come humbly in yourself, but you come boldly because Christ paid this.
Yes.
This is what this is talking about. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus has done this for you. You can come. It's talking about confidence. I don't have to let the devil woo me and say, you ain't good enough to come.
Right.
I can come. Devil, you're a liar.
Yes, he is.
You're a liar. I can come not because I'm claiming to be good, but Christ was good, and Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin, and I can come bold. I can come confidently knowing. I want you to understand this. You can come confidently knowing absolutely, assuredly that God's going to meet you at this altar.
Yes.
You can come in total confidence that you can be saved.
Yes.
Because Jesus paid the price. Yes. The devil is going to lie about it. There's going to be all kind of opposition to it. But the bottom line is that it's here. And this altar is not going to lift up and come back to you.
Right.
Now this altar is only the symbol of meeting God.
Yes.
But that is not going to come. There's going to have to be the coming. Where I'm saying, I've got to make the effort to do it. Come boldly. It's come boldly. Or just stay where you're at. Come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Well, I appreciate that.
Yes.
To the throne of grace. We're coming to the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? The throne represents the power and authority, don't it?
Yes.
Of grace. Well, what is grace? Well, grace can be defined, but mainly it's that divine enabling power.
Yes.
Put down into I believe Brother Tony taught us this at home one time. Put it down in a nutshell and you can read the fruits of the Spirit and you can understand, then you can let it. It's pretty synonymous with what grace is, because you can say, I need grace to love them more. Well, hey, that's the fruit of the Spirit. You got it coming. I need more patience. I need the grace to be more patient. Well, patience is a fruit. So you're saying, come boldly to the authority and power of grace for your life, to get grace in your life, to overcome the problems that you have. I don't have joy, but it's a grace.
Yes. Yes.
I don't have the ability to do what I should do. I make a lot of trouble in life. But there's the power and authority of grace. Come to the throne of grace. And where there's power and authority of grace to be given to you to overcome the needs of your life. I have the ability to overcome the habits that I've made in my life. No. But the power of grace can do it. There's an authority to overcome the things that we've got. You say, well, I have an addiction. There's a power at the throne of grace. There's an authority of grace that gives us a power over those kind of things. Thank the Lord. You don't have to be that way. Come boldly to that, confidently, to get that which you need. That you might, it says, that you may obtain mercy. Yes, mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Over in 1 Peter. Well, there's an invitation. Thank the Lord for the invitation.
Yes.
In 1 Peter. Oh, let's see. 5. The 6th verse of the 5th chapter of 1 Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's an invitation.
Yes, it is.
Come cast all your cares on him. You may say, I don't see how that works. Well, be honest with you, I don't either. I don't know how it works, but I know it works. I know that you can come and cast your cares and gently cast them upon the Lord. That is a consecration that, Lord, you are in control of. Lord, I come to give you my deepest problems, my earnest problems, the things that I wrestle with, the things I don't sleep because keeping me from sleep, the things that's troubling my life. I can do all that, and you can cast that upon a God that's able to take care of it because he cares for you. When you're coming back, he's not coming back. I come not to condemn the world, but I come that he might be saved. He's not standing there at the Father looking at the Son so he can intervene and keep him off the property.
Right.
He's coming so he can run and fall on his neck and kiss him. And he put a robe on, put the ring on his finger, get him the symbol of the family on him, and he brought him back in and said, kill the fatted calf and make merry and let's rejoice for he that was lost. And now he's saved. He's returned. Rejoice that we've got him back.
Yes.
For he cares for you.
Yes.
And he's got the invitation come out. I want to just mention this scripture. I'll just read a little bit of it. It's in 2 Kings. It comes to my mind and thinking about the casting of cares. The setting of this was that this was when Sennacherib and I think it was the Assyrian Empire was making conquests across the lands, and they come up to the children of Israel and to King Hezekiah, and they warn him, don't go telling your people that your God's going to deliver you, because everybody's God said that. And you're not going to be, he ain't going to deliver you any more than their gods did them. We're on a roll. We're rolling through here. They were mighty. I mean, they was, historically, they was a mighty army. And they, you remember they sent a letter, and this, I pick this up in the 14th verse, and it says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. That was the perfect response to something that's bigger than you. I mean, here's this army. They wasn't lying about it. They had conquered everybody. I mean, and it was a fearful time for them. They was puny in the sight of the Assyrians. They had great armies. They was very well equipped. They was marching on, and they was coming up to do it. And they basically was just saying, why get destroyed? Just give yourself up. You'll be our servants, but we'll treat you well. You can pay us taxes, and you can do that. You'll be a part of our empire. Just give up to it. And you have to worship our gods, of course, or certain things like, but you have to do it. This was what the idea was, and so don't try to pull anything. And Hezekiah gets the letter, and it looked like a lot of doom and gloom and hard things, but the invitation is still and has always been, bring it to me.
Yes.
Come unto me with your problems, your difficulties, the things. So he takes the letter. I'm sure the Lord knew what was in the letter. Maybe it's just symbolic, but to him it was meaningful. Hezekiah gets the letter, and basically, in my mind, he comes up to the altar, very solemn thing.
Yes.
And he spreads it out on the altar, basically says, Lord, would you read this? Would you read this letter and what the accusations that they've made, the threats that they've made against you and your people, and would you read this? Hezekiah had no means to be able to defend against it.
No, right.
But the Lord did.
Yes.
The Lord read the letter. And he gave a great victory to Hezekiah. And the Sennacherib was destroyed. The armies was destroyed. And they never even lifted a sword at it. That was God read the letter.
Yes.
God cares about your problems today.
Yes, he does.
He's concerned for you as an individual. He wants you to come and be a son or daughter.
Yes.
And it isn't like, I don't know if he'd accept me. I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
That's just the devil talking.
Yes.
The Lord will accept you.
Yes.
The Lord wants you. It's the heart of God.
Right.
For he's made the invitation. And because of his creation and because he's made us a way, and he wants our heart and our love because we choose it, he makes a great table, and he invites us to the banquet.
Yes.
Yes.
And he does not force or pressure. He simply says, come and dine. And I could get you other scriptures. You know them well, too, probably most of you, about how he invited them to the banquet, and meant they wouldn't come. One time he invited him and started making an excuse. One guy says, I just got married, like he couldn't take his wife. I mean, come on, I want you to bring your wife with you, come on. Another one says, I've got some oxen and I got to prove them. You just bought oxen that you hadn't proven, really? You just paid, you're going to buy them first. It's like, I'm going to go buy this car, and then I'm going to drive it to see if it runs. No, these are excuses. These are just excuses. And you don't need an excuse. Listen, you don't need an excuse.
Right.
If you want to do it, just don't make an excuse and say, no, I don't want to do it. There's no use to make an excuse. But the invitation is still true.
Yes, it is.
There's still an invitation. Come. Come unto me.
Yes.
So that's my little message for the day. I hope it sticks with you. If not just for the day, but for all time, that you have been given an invitation to come through Christ to the presence of God, and it will be there for your life. Come, bring it to me, and we can deal with it together. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.